chapter 55, Kapitel Nun He. And this is, although I know I've said this before, when I've said this is a low point in David's life, the name of the shir is the inner meeting of Tehillim in the life of David HaMelech. Sometimes we have to look a little bit into the life of David HaMelech in order to understand what it is that he's writing about. First thing we have to understand here is that David HaMelech had a son named Avshalom. And Avshalom rebelled against David and attempted to become king. He felt that it was time for David's reign to end and for he, Avshalom, to take over. Now, one of the things that's amazing is that he ended up engendering a lot of popular support. And Chazal have a description of the things that he used to do. He used to stand outside the city where the road would come into Yerushalayim and travelers would be coming, and he'd just stand there casually, like, I'm just a regular old person hanging out here with nothing to do all day. And people would come and they'd say, where are you going? What are you doing? And say, I'm going to Yerushalayim because I have an important legal case to present to the great King David. And he'd say, oh, boy. Whoosh, yeah, that sounds good. I hope you don't have to wait a month like the last guys did. It's really bogged down there, you know. He's not getting any younger, David. And, boy, I'll tell you something. If I were king, I'd have you in and out right away. I'd really take care of the people. But, you know, go ahead. Good luck to you. And he'd do that day in and day out with whatever the particular claim the people had. And he would make it that, you know, boy, you know, I'm just a regular guy here, but I can tell you what I hear. And he built up a lot of popular support. Avshalom's rebellion was a punishment from Hashem for the mice with Bathsheba, as with so many things in David's life. To have your own son rebel against you is certainly not a very nice thing. But it's even worse because the person that Avshalom took as his main advisor was a fellow named Achitophel. Achitophel was a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham, and his advice was considered to be so good that Chazal say it was as good as asking the Urim Turmim or as good as asking Hashem himself. Achitophel, his entire life, never gave an incorrect piece of advice. If Achitophel said something, you could take it to the bank. Achitophel was David's lifelong friend, his one and only true buddy, pal, confidant, person whom he learned with, person whom he considered to be his equal. He didn't treat him as a subject. He came and went in the palace as he pleased. And in fact, in Pirkei Avos, it says that David called Achitophel Rabbi because he learned two important halachas from him. So this fellow Achitophel spent most of his life as David's best friend, his confidant. And then he decided to abandon David and he went over to support Avshalom. And he did this because he himself wanted to be king. He figured that once Avshalom became king, well, look at all the evil things Avshalom had to do to become king. Haha, so we'll try him, we'll kill him, and then I'll become king. And in fact, he told Avshalom, the only way you're going to succeed in your rebellion is if you're willing to kill your father, David. You have to kill David. Avshalom was reluctant to do that. And in fact, as was always the case, Achitophel's advice was correct. Since Avshalom was not willing to kill David, he was not able to succeed in his rebellion. Achitophel's advice was always correct, and Achitophel was the most learned man, one of the most learned men of his generation, and in fact, he had many, 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 many things ascribed to him. However, in the entire panorama of halacha, there is no halacha that is decided like Achitophel. His legacy is lost, and not one single halachic decision that he made do we rule like today. The reason for that is because it says in Perek Chaf Hei that Sod Hashem L'Riyeh. The secrets of Hashem are known to those who fear Him. And without fear of Hashem, all the learning in the world is worthless. So even though Achitophel was a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham, he leaves no legacy. David was forced to flee and flee Yerushalayim. He was concerned about not only himself, but the people of Yerushalayim, what would happen to them under the oppression of Avshalom, who so desperately wanted to be king. Once Achitophel betrayed him, David HaMelech was despondent. In fact, he said that the only person in his life he ever feared was Achitophel. His best friend, his lifelong companion, the only person to whom he could turn and share the burdens and confidences and sorrows and joys of being Melech was his lifelong friend Achitophel, who now was riding a horse and carrying a spear against him in the name of Avshalom. Say David HaMelech was despondent over this would be an understatement. He said it recently in the last chapter that we discussed, everybody was at the Shabbos Shir, is that he was despondent when his own family betrayed him. And now his best friend betrayed him. The Alchik says that the pinprick of a friend is worse than the sword of an enemy. And to have someone who is your lifelong friend, who you trust completely with your life, not only with your life, but with the well-being of the entire nation, to turn against you is a devastating experience. At that time, David HaMelech wrote this particular chapter. And this is going to end a series of chapters that David HaMelech wrote after these kinds of tremendous, life-changing experiences. So, let's jump in here. It says in the first verse, "Lamanatzeach b'neginos maskil l'David." It's for the conductor with neginos. Neginos are once again a kind of instrument that we have no idea what it looks like, but David HaMelech used it in order to bring himself out of his despondent state, in order to be able to write this particular chapter. And he says, "Hazinu Elokim tefilasi, give ear to my prayer." And don't hide yourself from my supplication. Right? Now, tefilasi is always referring to a person's most innermost prayers. When we say tefilasi, that refers to whatever, when we say before Shemona Esrei tefilasi, it refers to the deepest, most sincerely held desires that a person wishes to express to Hashem. That's called tefilasi. Don't disregard my pleas. Right? Means what he wants is Hashem to turn Achitophel's advice bad. Achitophel's advice is gold. If Achitophel is advising Avshalom, David feels he probably can't win. Only if Hashem were to turn Achitophel's advice bad would it be possible for him to win. And then he says in verse 3, how does he speak about it? He says in verse 3, "Hakshiva li vaneni, attend unto me and hear me, arid besicha vahima, I am distraught and I will moan." "I will distraught and I will moan" refers to David when he was fleeing from Avshalom. Let's just see what it was like for David here. In Shmuel Beis, in Perek Yud Dalid, starting in Pasuk 30, let's read a few Pasukim here to get an idea. David was going up and ascending to the Mount of Olives. He was crying as he ascended. His head was wrapped and he was barefoot. All the people with him wrapped their heads and went up, and they all cried as they ascended. Someone told David, saying, "Achitophel is among the conspirators now with Avshalom." And David said, "Please confound the advice of Achitophel, O Hashem." Does this sound like a Melech Yisrael? We talked before about the regalness of a Melech. When the Melech goes out, he goes out in front of him. He has to carry a Sefer Torah with him all the time on his horse, all right, so that he should always remember to do the mitzvot. He has a whole entourage with him. Everybody he passes has to prostrate themselves on the ground as they pass. David HaMelech is the only one that's allowed to come into the Mishkan, which would later become the base of Mikdash, and sit down. Anybody else who sits down is a capital offense. Now here's David. He's crying as he ascended, his head wrapped, he's barefoot. The people with him, they have no shoes, they have no clothes, they have nothing as he's fleeing. And someone came and told David, "Achitophel is now amongst your enemies." Now David writes this kapitel. And that's what he means when he says, I'm distraught in my complaint and I will moan. And he goes on to say, Mikol Oyev, because the voice of my enemy, the oppression of the wicked people, they cast mischief upon me, and in anger they prosecute me. The voice of my enemy. Now if you look over in the Hebrew, it says, Mikol Oyev, the call of my enemy. Now a call is a voice. It also could be a shout. It could also be a cry out. A call could have many different connotations to it. The Al-Sheikh explains, you know what he's talking about? What shout of his foes? Who's shouting at him? Nobody's shouting at him. Mikol Oyev, from the voice of my oppressors. No one said a word. He's referring, David is now dwelling more and more on all of these things that are happening. Because as he's going to be fleeing, he's going to come upon a fellow called Shimi ben Gera. And Shimi ben Gera is going to curse David, and he's going to tell David the following. He's going to tell David, see where my bifocal's going. He's going to tell David. A man of Saul's family was coming out. His name was Shimi ben Gera, and he was cursing as he was coming out. Now Shimi ben Gera was standing up on top of a hill, and David and his men were walking down at the bottom of the hill. Right? And he started throwing stones down on David HaMelech and all of the people that were with him. Right? And he said to him, go out, you are an evil man, you are a base man, you don't deserve to be king. Hashem is repaying you for all of your sins by giving over your malchus and your kingdom to Avshalom. Behold, you are no longer worthy to be the king. His servants came to David and said, should we go kill this man? And David HaMelech said, leave him be. They left him be, and the whole time they walked, as long as it, Shimi ben Gera followed along, mile after mile after mile, on top of the hill, throwing down stones and telling him what a rusher he was, that he didn't deserve to be king. So what David says, you know what, Hashem, the voice of my enemies is here, that's what he's talking about. And when he says, they persecute me, means they continue to tell me that I can't be king. Right? That's always what they did to David. They always would dredge up anything, and they never came and said, David, we're going to kill. Shimi ben Gera didn't try and kill David. He didn't kill a king. But a lot of ways to kill a person. And by chipping away at him and telling him how unworthy he is, that's even worse than actually trying to pursue him and kill him. David HaMelech says, Libi yachil v'kirbi, my heart is writhing with inside of my body. Ve'emos malvis, and the terrors of death are already, naflu alai, have already fallen upon me. Yira v'ra'ad, he says, fear and trembling are on me. Yavo vi, but Aksene Palutsis, and horror is completely overwhelmed me. Hoy says, Va'aymer mi yitain li aver kayaina, I wish I had wings like a dove. Uf of Eshkara, I would fly and I would always be at rest. If you're not aware of this, a dove is the only bird that doesn't stop to rest. A dove, when it wants to rest, tucks one wing under it, rests that wing, and keeps flying. And then when that wing is rested, it flies on that one wing, and it rests the other wing. But a dove is the only bird that can do that. And David HaMelech wishes that he too could keep going, but at the same time could rest, get rest from his oppressors. Hine archik ndod, I would wander far off, alin bamidbar, and I would lodge in the wilderness, selah. He wants to dwell in the wilderness. He wants to get away from all this. There's a fascinating Rambam. The Rambam says that if a person lives in a place or a country or a city that's full of evil people, that he should go out and live by himself. Better, he should go out and live by himself in the desert. That people are influenced by their surroundings. You know, we like to think that people are not influenced by their surroundings. We like to think that, you know what, we live in the United States, but we're Jewish and we're not really influenced by all the stuff that goes around us. We're not influenced by what we see in the street, and we're not influenced by what goes on in the world and in the government. We're not influenced by these things. We live in our own sort of self-contained community. We're not influenced by these things. It doesn't matter what happens to general society. That doesn't really affect Jewish society, says the Rambam. Wrong, wrong, wrong. What happens in society at large dramatically affects Jews. If you look and you study history, you will see that that everything that happens in general history has some sort of effect on the Jewish world. Says David HaMelech, I'd like to get rid of all that. I'd like to go live in the desert, right, where people aren't going to tell me how evil I am, and my friend Achit, and nobody's going to betray me. I'd go live in the desert and get rid of all of these evil people. He says, Shicha Miflei, in verse 9, he says, I would haste to a shelter, may ruach sa'omisar, and I would be safe from the stormy winds. Winds uproot people. Really what they're trying to do, they don't really care if they kill David. They want his throne. Right? This is power and politics at its rawest form. The wind is coming by and it wants to sweep David right off his throne, and he says, Bala Hashem. Palag Lashonim, divide their tongue. I've seen violence and strife in the city already. So already they're coming into Yerushalayim, and Avshalom's men are arguing over how they're going to divide the spoils. They haven't even won yet. But they're already arguing over how they're going to divide the spoils. And David HaMelech is saying, he's seen that happening already. There's a fascinating medrash in this. The medrash says as follows, that if idol worshippers do their idol worshipping in peace and brotherhood and shalom with each other, they will receive a lesser punishment. And if they do it while arguing with one another. The value of shalom and peace amongst men is considered to be so great by Hashem that he's even willing to give people who do avodah zarah a little break if they do it together. Not a big break, right? You don't get off scot-free here. It's not a license, hey, we'll do it together and we'll, you know, but the fact that avodah zarah, which is one of the most heinous crimes a person can commit, right, is avodah zarah. It's a capital offense, right? Many, many terrible things happen to Klal Yisrael because of their yetzer hara for avodah zarah, but if you do it together, not quite as bad as the medrash, right? Because at least you're doing it b'shalom. You know, it's interesting, my wife once commented, I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, they came down and found the children on Shabbos afternoon doing something that, let's just say, they really shouldn't have been doing. And my wife said, oh, at least they're doing it together and not fighting. And that's what the Medrash is saying. You know what? There's a certain thing about, if you're doing something together, there's already, no matter what it is, a little drop of good in it. Even if what you're doing together is avodah zarah. So even if the kids, what they're doing together is they're coloring on the walls, right? Which wouldn't happen in this house. Or they are having a sentry posted in one room so they can color on the back of the white sofa, and in case any parents come, they won't get caught. That just as a crazy, made-up, wild example, which would never happen in my house. All right? Wow, they're doing it together. Right? Yeah, they worked it out. Normally they're fighting and beating each other up on Shabbos afternoon. Now instead, they're working together to color the white couch. All right, so there's a little good in that. All right, the children are working together. They're learning how to divide responsibilities. You got the lookout, you got the colorer. All right, they're learning dividers. You know, it's an important thing. All right, so you see that there's a little good in that. So maybe they didn't quite get the punishment they would have if we come down and found them fighting over who gets to draw first on the couch. They still did get a punishment. Right, but the truth is you could tell it was tempered. Right? Because they were doing something together as a group. When Hashem looks down on his children and he sees them doing together, that little bit of good, all right, is always going to be there no matter what they're doing together. What?
Don't make
it come down there. Right. So David HaMelech said, you know what, Hashem? Divide them. They're already starting to fight amongst themselves. Hashem is not going to help them if he sees that they're already fighting among themselves. Yomu v'layla sovivene alef o'masaha, says Pasuk 11, v'avin v'amal b'kirba. Day and night they go about it on the walls thereof, mischief, they're in the midst of it, they're running around trying to figure out how they can get all the spoils out of Yerushalayim. In Pasuk 12 it says, havos b'kirba, wickedness is in the middle, v'lo yamish me'rava, and oppression and guile, and don't depart, mirma. Mirma usually means like a trickery. David HaMelech felt very deceived and tricked by Achitophel, because Achitophel had been tricking David his whole life. Achitophel was a Rasha. He's one of the four people that Chazal say have no share in Olam Haba and cannot do Teshuvah. Their souls are cut off forever. They're so evil and so bad that they have no chaylik and olam haba. And for his whole life, David HaMelech thought it was his best friend. Mirma, it was a trickery. Look what Achitophel did to me. David HaMelech says in 13, he says, listen, Kilo oye v'charpeni. It wasn't my enemy that taunted me. The esalo misane, alai gila. You know, I could bear that. That's every minute, right? I could have hidden from him. I could bear it if my enemy was coming after me. But he can't. I got to print it out a little funny here. The verse is printing out a little funny. I guess I just cut off a little bit of my copy there. So many enemies came after David. Every country around them had tried to invade him. He's fought wars, he's fought enemies, right? He's fought Shaul HaMelech, he fought a Melech Israel. Alright. That he could take. But for Achitophel, David was slow to believe that Achitophel would betray him. Every time it looked like Achitophel was betraying him, David HaMelech came up with some, you know what? No. He's not betraying me. And he had some rationalization for Achitophel's behavior. Until finally his behavior got so intense that he couldn't deny anymore that Achitophel was not his friend. But it was very difficult for him to face that, to face his friend, that pinprick from a friend. He couldn't deal with the sword of his enemy. He could deal with the majors. They had taught Enosh Ge'erki. You were a man equal to me. Alufa Miyadua. You were my companion, my friend. All right. He never treated Achitophel like a subject. He always treated him like a friend and an equal. He says in 15, Asher Yachtav Namsi Sod Veves Elokim Nachaleif Beregish. We took counsel together. In the house of Hashem, we walked strong, we learned together, we played together. May he incite, may Hashem incite death against them. Let them go down alive into the nether worlds, for evil is their dwelling. Now at this point, David HaMelech is about to show us why he's David HaMelech. This is a tragic story. Melech Yisrael in such a situation. Certainly a tragic story. But David HaMelech right now, he decides that, you know what? I have to go back to Yerushalayim. And I have to fight Avshalom. I have a job to do. I'm the Melech Yisrael. Fine, I can't sit here all day and feel bad that Achitophel betrayed me. I have to go back. And Hashem is going to help me. So now, David HaMelech turns, and we see why he's David HaMelech. In the next pasuk in 17, he says, "Aniyukel Elokim Ekra." But for me, forget all this stuff. I'm going to call on Hashem, v'Hashem Yoshieni, and Hashem will save me. I'm going to the next page in pasuk 18. It says, "Erev Avoker V'Tzaraim, morning, nighttime, and noon, Asicha V'Ema. I will complain and I will moan, but Yishma Koli, and Hashem has heard my voice." Padav v'shalom nafshi, He has redeemed my soul in peace. Ki varavim ha'yoyimadim. Right, many that came with me. Right, Yishma Akel. Hashem is going to hear v'aneim, and He's going to humble them. V'yoshev kedem sela. And He's going to and he's going to fear not, Hashem. Shalach yadav bishlimeo. He has put forth His hands against them that fought me, Hillel Bariso, and who have profaned the covenant of Hashem. Chalku, Machmat Tvi, smoother than cream were the speeches of His mouth, Ukarav Libo, but His heart was at war. Achitofel was a two-faced person. Raku Devarav Mishem, and His words were smoother than oil. Vehema Basichos, but they were keen-edged swords. Hashlech al Hashem, cast your burden, people, onto Hashem. Vehu Yichlachlev, and He will sustain you. Lo yitain l'olam bot l'tzadik. He will never allow the righteous, right, to suffer. Ve'etah Elokim, but Thou, Hashem, Tereidim l'vei shachas, will bring them down into the nethermost pit, anshe domi v'miram, and they will not live out half of their days. Vani, but as for me, evtach bach, I will trust in Hashem, and I will return to Yerushalayim, and I will fight Avshalom, and I will take my rightful place as a Melech Yisroel. Everything that needs to be said about David HaMelech can be said by the fact that he could write these last psukim. In such a situation, I doubt you could find a minion of people in the history of Klal Yisrael that could write psukim like this in such a situation. There's a famous medrash that says that Nebuchadnezzar, after he conquered Jerusalem, he was going to write praises to Hashem. He was going to write his own songs to Hashem. So he started writing, and it was beautiful. And it said a malach came and slapped him and stopped him from writing so that his songs wouldn't be as beautiful as David HaMelech's. Hello? Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar was not exactly from one of the top people we are fans of. Right? He was the Melech, the king of Babel. He captured Yerushalayim and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And he was going to write songs that were as beautiful as David HaMelech's? How is that possible? Well, you know what? It's easy. Anybody can write songs when things are going good. When things are going good, it's real easy to praise Hashem. When things are going not so well, it's a lot more difficult. Nebuchadnezzar, were he suffering adversity, would not have been able to write praises to Hashem. Only David HaMelech could write these pesukim, but for me, I'll trust in Hashem. That's enough for me. Hashem told me I'm supposed to be the Melech. I'm going to go and I'm going to do this job that Hashem gave me to be the Melech. Simple. I am feeling like I've been eaten up inside from the betrayal of Achitofel. I'm going to trust in Hashem. The kapitel here, I think, is trying to teach us the following. Every time we have a kapitel of Tehillim, the idea is what can we get out of it on a larger scale, the whole kapitel, in order to help us become better people. So when we say Tehillim, we've said this kapitel, people have probably said this kapitel hundreds, if not thousands of times. Now, we even know the story of David HaMelech and Achitofel and Avshalom. And we see that David HaMelech triumphed. He was able to overcome his upsetness, his frustration, his depression, and he was able to write praises to Hashem. But that's the story of many chapters. There are many times when David HaMelech overcomes adversity to praise Hashem. So what's special about this particular? Right, Achitofel, that was a tough blow. Doeg wasn't exactly a great guy. Shimei ben Gera throwing stones down from the hills, that was such a great thing. And cursing him the whole time in front of all of his men, walking along, telling him what a Rasha he is, and he's a sinner. And he was recounting a list of everything he thought David had done wrong the whole time. And Shimei ben Gera was the head of the Sanhedrin. Shimei ben Gera is no guy off the streets here. The head of the Sanhedrin is walking along on the hill, calling down and telling you, and recounting all of your sins, and why you don't deserve to be king, mile after mile, while your men are walking along with you. Yet Achitofel is different. There's a different lesson here. The lesson here is that David's feeling of betrayal from Achitofel is a personal matter. He was his best friend, his confidant. Chazal tells us that without friends, a person is like they're dead. Right? In Sefer Iyuv, in the book of Iyuv, we have a whole story over there about the importance of friendship. David had one main friend, his lifelong friend Achitofel, who was incredibly wounded by this betrayal. What lesson here is different than the fact that when we have a kapitel about Shimei ben Gera, and David overcame that and wrote praises to Hashem. We have a kapitel about Shaul HaMelech almost killing David many times. David overcame that, was able to write praises to Hashem. So what's the lesson here? I think that the lesson here is that people have responsibilities. David HaMelech felt he had a responsibility to the nation to be the Melech. He himself wanted to go off into the wilderness. He didn't want to deal with this anymore. It's enough. Time after time, Avshalom, Sheva, Shimei ben Gera, you know what, enough already. I can go live in the wilderness. I can learn. I can daven. I can, for 21 years, of his first 21 years of his life, he lived as a shepherd, and he achieved great spiritual heights. He had a Baal Ruchnias off in the fields by himself. He wants to go back to the fields. He's an older man now. He wants to spend the rest of his life learning, right, davening, contemplating his relationship with Hashem. Right? He doesn't want to do this anymore. Comes to realize, you know what? That doesn't matter. I have a responsibility that I was assigned by Hashem to be the Melech. No matter how much I individually and personally am suffering right now, that suffering does not alleviate my responsibility to Klal Yisrael. And I think that that's the message here. David HaMelech came back to Yerushalayim, renewed and ready to fight, confident that Hashem was on his side. What happened to the fact that he wanted to be out in the wilderness? He still wants to be out in the wilderness. And to a certain extent, we all want to be out in the wilderness. To a certain extent, we all have responsibilities that weigh us down. Whether it be family responsibilities, whether it be, you know, parnasa responsibilities, communal responsibilities, we all have responsibilities that weigh us down. And sometimes, when we're suffering, and when we're hurting, and when we've been betrayed, we want to throw the responsibilities off. We want to go out to the wilderness. The metaphorical wilderness. We have a lot of wildernesses in Chicago. I guess we have forest preserve. We want to go out in the wilderness. Why should I have to do this? You know what? I work day and night for this organization, and what do I get? I get betrayed. I work day and night for a parnasa, and you think when I come home, children appreciate it? I work day and night to clean the house, educate the children, do whatever it is I'm doing, all right? And now after this, I get it. This isn't worth it. I want to go out and live in the wilderness. What do I get for me? When do I get to work on like my relationship for Hashem? Why do I always have to be bogged down by these responsibilities? It's not bogged down, it's what Hashem made you for. And you have to realize that there's a duality, that a person can have their own internal, their own personal matzu, their own personal situation, which may be one of great joy, or it may be one of great sorrow, but it doesn't change your responsibilities. The opposite is true too. A chassan who just got married is still obligated to pay a shiva call to someone who's in mourning. Now, I look around the table, I see people, you know, I don't know how long anybody's been married, but certainly, remember when you first got married, it was a very joyful occasion. Hopefully it's still a joyful occasion if you're married, all right? When you first get, you're a chassan, you're a kala, it's all exciting, everybody is coming, you know, it's a big tumult, it's everybody, whatever you want is yours, the world is yours, people making parties for you. Right now you have to go to a base level. A shiva house is a pretty sad place. You go in, everybody's sitting on the low chairs, and the mirrors are covered, and, you know, the people are sad. Hey, well, I don't really need that right now, you know. I don't have to go to a base level. I just got married. I'm going to... My own personal situation does not relieve me of my communal and my external obligations. I have an obligation to comfort mourners. The fact that I personally am happy as a clam right now, so David HaMelech, I personally am destroyed right now. The fact that my best friend of my entire life was faking it the whole time, and every time we like stayed up late at night talking and sharing confidences and learning together, right, and running the kingdom together, it was all a fake. I'm torn up inside. It doesn't matter. I have responsibility. I have responsibility to Klal Yisrael. And I think the lesson of this epistle, David HaMelech is trying to get across, is that a person's own personal situation does not change their external responsibilities. The fact that you have external responsibilities, you have. He has to still go be Melech. Sometimes we'd all rather be out in the wilderness. Or we'd rather be off doing our own thing. So, obviously there's different parameters here and we're speaking very generally, but I think that's the message of this kapitel. Your own personal situation is one thing, external responsibilities, says David HaMelech, are another thing. The responsibilities to your spouse, to your community, to the organization, whatever you're doing, and you could be betrayed day and night. Hard to imagine somebody being betrayed as bad as Achi Teufel did to David. You could be betrayed day and night. Right? That's your own personal situation. That you have to deal with. That's a different chapter. Right? That's a different capitol on how to deal with your own personal frustration. But the fact that you have your own personal frustration does not relieve you. Your personal pain does not relieve you. And the final note is that when you go on and carry on your responsibilities, you have to trust that to carry on your responsibilities, Hashem will help you do that. You're thinking, right now, I'm in such a matzav, in such a situation. How can I possibly carry on these responsibilities? Don't they know what I'm going through right now, you think? I'd rather be out there. You know what? No. Hashem will help you. Your own personal situation aside, Hashem will help you carry out your responsibilities. Whether it's a happy person who has to do a sad thing, or a sad person who has to do a happy thing, if you charge forward, if you push forward no matter what with your responsibilities, Hashem will help you push forward. When David HaMelech got back on the horse and picked up the sword and going back to Yerushalayim, that's when he said, now Hashem's helping me. Hashem will help you carry through your responsibilities if you just get back on the horse and take your sword and go do what you have to do. I think that's the lesson. Questions?